not only are we drowning in a toxic mix of meism, relativism, and pluralism, we have to come into this room every Sunday morning and detox from the world. We've been so inundated by the media, the TV, the internet, the Facebook, all the stuff that goes on, and we got to come in here and detox because our mind has been filled with all this stuff of the world. But the real question is, how much time during the past week have we filled our mind with the wonders of God?
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It's a joy to have you listening today, and our prayer is that you'll be challenged and motivated to live for Christ like never before. Well, I don't know about you, but I need to be fed through Scripture today. And so let's go to God's Word now, and let's see what He has to say.
All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. And you know, over the last many weeks, we've been discussing the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, what He does in our lives, and how He works in the lives of the believer. And we've been talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about having love and joy and patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And the reality is we're all challenged in those areas. Amen. I know I'm challenged in those areas. Matter of fact, it just happened to me this past week. I went to a pastor's luncheon, and I was excited to go to this, and just to you kind of get with other pastors, and you share the joys, and you share the challenges, you share the mountaintop experiences, you share the valleys. It's just kind of good to get in there and kind of let your hair down. Amen? And so it was just a great, great day, and it was really cool because we started off this gathering as the host pastor of this large church came out to us pastors, and he said, "We're going to give one of you an early Christmas present." And he said, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to give one pastor here today two checks. One is going to be for your church for $4,000. And the other check's going to be to you personally for $1,000. Now, even though there were pastors in the room, I promise you this, there was a lot of selfish praying going on, amen? And so we put our names on this sheet, and we dropped it in the little basket, and they went around. His secretary was right there with him, and he pulled out a name. And guess who won? The guy sitting right next to me. I'll be quite honest with you. I was challenged. Am I going to honor God by genuinely giving this man a congratulations? Or am I going to honor myself by not genuinely doing it? Because my flesh got in the middle. Isn't it so easy to cross that center line from God-centered living to us-centered living? I mean, we slip over it throughout the day and we don't even know it sometimes, do we? There's a line there that it says, I'm going to go God's way on this side, or I'm going to go my way on this side. And that's why we constantly have to be on our guard. We have to constantly be saying, Lord, where am I missing it? Where am I failing? Where are my blind spots? We got to constantly be doing that, because the reality is, if we're living in this room today, we all have blind spots. Amen? You know, as we think about genuine revival, and I just continue to really have this burdened on my heart to have genuine revival. I mean, we want to see great things happen here, don't we? We want to see God do a work that only He can do. We want to see lost people saved. That's the exciting part. That's where we get out of this locker room, as we talk about over and over, and we go out into the game of life to go make a difference as we deny self, take up our cross, and follow God wherever He leads us in our calling. when we think of genuine revival, is something that I think we're missing in our culture today, is that we're not dependent like we used to be kind of back in the day on the richness and the fullness and the inerrancy and the inspiration of God's words. Because here's the reality. Our culture in 2012 is drowning in a toxic mix of pluralism, meism, and relativism. We are literally drowning. And so we, as a believer, we as a disciple of Jesus Christ, need to be on mission to take the hope, the message of hope, the Bible, the gospel, to those people in the highways and byways of our lives. Amen? And so here in 1 John 4:2, we're just springboarding from last week about testing the spirits. Being on our guard, understanding that not everyone we encounter who professes to be a believer in Jesus Christ is a believer in Jesus Christ. We have to be on our guard. We have to be discerning. We have to make sure that we run it through the filter called the Bible. We compare it against His benchmark, which is the Bible. We pray. We go to prayer and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. But there's also another thing that we're going to study this morning that we can use to test the spirits. And this is what John writes in 1 John 4:2. He says this, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now he starts off here and he says this, by this you will know. This is very critical because what he's really saying is here, I am putting out a benchmark, John is writing, that you can test this against. I can assure you this with 100% certainty that the benchmark is not Oprah, it's not Dr. Phil, it's not MTV, it's not Dr. Oz, it's not me, it's not you. I can assure all of us this. It's not even Washington and the next president. We're going to see the test. We're going to see the benchmark. But I want to make sure that we get this clear, because not only are we drowning in a toxic mix of meism, relativism, and pluralism, we have to come into this room every Sunday morning and detox from the world. We've been so inundated by the media, the TV, the internet, the Facebook, all the stuff that goes on, and we got to come in here and detox, because our mind has been filled with all this stuff of the world. But the real question is, how much time during the past week have we filled our mind with the wonders of God? You know, we scratch our heads and we go, well, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and that can be a very true statement. But I guess my question I ask myself is, how much am I actually contributing to that? Because how much time am I investing in all this stuff of the world, and how much time am I really investing in laying at the feet of Jesus? And so he says, by this you will know. And here it is, that every spirit that confesses. Now I want to pause right there. What can we, through deductive reasoning, understand? How many spirits are there, do we know? Are there more than one? We know there's the Holy Spirit who resides within the believer. Amen. That's what God's word says. But we also know that there are other spirits out there. If you haven't picked up on this from God's word yet, there are demonic spirits. I know it kind of makes people a little fidgety and what have you, but the reality is, if we don't understand what we're up against, how are we ever going to conquer what we're up against? That is the reality. Every spirit that confesses. Now, this is very mission critical. That word in the Greek means this, to declare openly or to profess. You ever heard someone say something like this? Well, when I was 7, I professed the name of Jesus. When I was 20, I professed the name of Jesus. Professing the name of Jesus is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But a profession is only the external part of an inward change. The problem with many churches and many professed believers in our culture today is not that they haven't professed. The real issue is they've never confessed. We've professed the name of Jesus, but we've never gotten to the point in contrition and repentance that we said, oh, I see how sinful I really am, and I'm in dire need of a Savior, and there's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus the Christ. We many times profess, but how many of us have really confessed? Have we really confessed? Have we really had a heart transformation? Has there really been something? And ask yourself, and I'll ask myself right now, has there really been something? Really? Has there been something that happened in our heart where we're truly, genuinely no longer the same? And not that we profess, not that we say we're a good Baptist, not that we say we belong to the SBC. All those things are wonderful and good, but they will never send you to heaven, amen? The reality is we can profess all those things and go straight to hell if we've never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and there's a genuine heart transformation in our hearts. Have we confessed this morning or have we simply professed? I know this might scare some people, but it's straight from God's word. But the reality is, just as there are disciples of Jesus Christ, there are followers, disciples of Satan. You go, wow, this is really weird. Well, it's biblical. We got to understand that we really are in a battle. We got to understand that there really is a cost. There's a cost both for the believer, because there will be a cost to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. There will be a huge cost for the unbeliever that rejects Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We got to understand that there is a confession that needs to happen. You say, well, how do we know all this? Well, I want to take us real quickly. Don't turn there. But I want you just to listen. Listen very intently to what Ephesians 6 says. Just listen very closely. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And this is what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Whose might are we to be strong in? So we know right here from Scripture that we need Him every hour, amen? Actually, we need to rephrase the whole words on that song, I need you every second, right? That we rely not on our strength and self-sufficiency, but we rely on His strength as we empty ourselves unto Him. Here's what it goes on to say. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now here it is, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do we understand that Satan is real? Do we understand, because I think so many believers somehow missed the memo and didn't get this, that when they profess Christ and truly confess Christ, when it's a genuine conversion, when it's not false, but it's true, when that happens, Satan is going to be hot on your trail. He wants to do everything he can to destroy your faith in God. And how does he do that? Well, he's the father of all lies. He starts speaking things and whispering things, and he starts using this person and that person, and he may even be using us at times, and we've been hoodwinked, we've been duped, we've been bewitched, as Galatians talks about, and we get off course, and we go from God-centered living, and we cross that line over to me-centered living, and oh boy, we got a huge mess on our hands, don't we? See, that's why it's so important to understand that we wrestle, and I love that phrase. We wrestle. We are in a grapple, not with flesh and blood, but there is a grapple which we term spiritual warfare. It is real. Francis Schaeffer, one of my favorites, says this: we are locked in a battle. This is not a friendly gentleman's discussion. It's a life and death conflict between the spiritual host of wickedness and those who claim the name of Christ. Francis Schaeffer was a brilliant man. What a scholar, and how he wordsmiths that and says, look, this is not a gentleman's discussion. This is a battle. We are literally in a war, and it's in a war against the principalities of darkness, against those that profess the name of Jesus. And I promise us all this, will we have peace and joy when we come to Christ as we confess him? We sure will, but according to God's word, there's going to be a lot of trials along the way.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Please make a note that all of these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message and let's see what God's Word has to say.
You know, I made a comment just a second ago that what does the spirit of darkness use? He uses lies, doesn't he? Think for a moment, and I'll think for a moment for myself, of there's times where you and I have been deceived. It happens to all of us. We don't want to admit it. But the reality is there's times where we're all deceived. We get deceived many times by as we have a goal and aspiration, and we get dialed in and focused, and the devil makes it look so wonderful, and it could be a quote-unquote good thing. But the real question is it not just a good thing, but is it a God thing? Because you want to see a home, a business, a church, a team transformed, get people out of good things and get them into God things. And when they get into God things, that's where the things really start happening truly for God and his glory. But he uses lies, doesn't he? So how do we combat that? Do we have any arsenal? Do we have anything that we can use that we can combat the father of all lies? You may be thinking right now and going, you know, I'm going through this and this family struggle and this work situation and I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, and you just don't understand it. It's not good and it's bad. And I do understand to some extent because I go through the same trials you do on many fronts. So how do we combat it? Do we just sit back and wallow in it and get a pity party? No. We come at the devil with the sword of the Spirit. Do we know what the sword of the Spirit is? It's the Word. We come at him with the Bible. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He went out there, what, after the baptism, and the devil took him out there and said some stuff to him, didn't he? And they gave him all these temptations. And on every temptation, what did Jesus say? He came back to the devil, not what the mainstream media was saying, not what Washington was saying, not what MTV was saying. He came back and said, it is written. It is written. That's what we need to start doing to counter these attacks. We need to say, look, devil, it is written. My God is faithful. My God's promises are true. Jesus said he's the only way, he's the truth, and he's the life. I can stand on the written word of God. How's the Lord speaking to your heart this morning? Every spirit that confesses. Have you made a profession? I hope so. But have you gotten to the point where your profession was really based on a confession where the heart was radically changed by Jesus Christ? The last part of this verse goes on to say this, and I'll answer this kind of with a question. Confesses what? That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. Don't miss this, please. This is a critical element of John's day, and it's a pivotal element of our day. Critical. In that day, in that Gnostic culture, there were so many that said, yeah, we heard about Jesus, he was great, he was fantastic, but he really didn't come in the flesh. And we hear the same thing in our Gnostic culture at times. That, yeah, he was a good guy, he was a prophet, but there's so many people that were so much greater than Jesus. Well, from God's word, based on the sword of the Spirit, I can promise us this, that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the Messiah, the Christos, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world, I can promise you from God's word that he came in the flesh. You say, well, how do you know? Well, here it is. We read one verse already. We're going to read it again. 1 John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? What's the Word in this context here? Do we know? It's Jesus. He's the Word. He came in the flesh. And the verse goes on to say this. He came in the flesh and dwelt. He literally tabernacled among us. The verse goes on to say this. And we beheld His glory. Don't you love that? When's the last time that you really beheld Christ in His glory? When's the last time that you got on your knees and you said, Lord, I don't understand why this is going on. I don't like this. This was not the roadmap or the plan that I had for my life, but you know what? I'm going to behold Your glory. And then the verse concludes here as it says this, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, there is grace and there is truth. Amen? I mean, it is real. It is something that we need to start clinging on to like never before. We go, okay, that was one verse, but is there anything else that points me that Jesus really did come in the flesh? Well, listen to this here in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him highly and given him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those of the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Now, I promise us all this, that when we understand from a biblical context, when we understand from a biblical truth that Jesus Christ, that He did come to this earth, He came literally in the flesh, still being fully divine. Please don't miss this. You hear people out there in Hollywood said, yeah, He came to, you know, He came to the earth, but He sinned. And no, He did not. He did not sin. Well, how do we know? You go back to the sword. You go back to the Word. Oh, Hebrews 4:15, for we have a great high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Yet He did not do any of those things. Why? Because He was found without sin. He was perfect. He never sinned. But He was not just some average man. He is and was the man. And because He is and was the man, that's who we cling to. He's our hope. He's our salvation. He's our anchor. He's our rock. Jesus Christ is the name that's above every name. Now, again, I promise us this, that when we say that, that there's going to be people that get really upset with us. They get really upset. But I want to make one thing very clear here at Manhattan Baptist Church. That regardless of the opinion of man, regardless of if man says, well, he was just a good guy, Jesus. Well, he was just a prophet. Well, he did good things and they were cool and they were entertaining and they're great stories. Regardless of what anyone else says, please hear me on this. Please. That here at this church, we stand on the Word of God's. And not only do we stand on the Word of God, but we believe the Word of God. And we believe from the Word of God, as it clearly is laid out, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, that He is the one that we must confess and profess, and we will not deny the name of Jesus Christ. The last part says this, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. Let me read the whole verse in context. Here it is. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that truly believes, not just a profession, but truly believes, that trusts that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of who? God. What's the Greek word for God, do we know? It's theos, right? You hear the word theology? It's theos. And when you think through this, we want to make sure as we live our lives, and you live your life and I live mine, that anything and everything we do is not from us, it's not from the world, it's simply of theos, of God. Amen? Could we honestly say this morning that even though we're sinners and we struggle and we are wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness, can you and I say this morning that, oh, we are pursuing God and we are living for God to the best that we can as the Holy Spirit works within us, and that we have a desire to please Him and make Him known? Because the reality, as we get back to this whole thing, is that there are those that profess, but they've never confessed. And what they do is they infiltrate homes and churches, and they do whatever they can to cause dissension and discord because they want to put the focus on them and not God. You say, well, how do you know? I'm glad you asked. We just go back to the sword of the Spirit, don't we? Here's what it says in 2 Peter 2:18 through 19. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Do you see this? That there really are those out there that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're filled with self. And when we're filled with self, we're really filled with what? The demonic. We're filled with the demonic, and what we do is we can masquerade, and we can put on the charade, and we put on our costume, and we can come into a church, and we have all these wonderful appearances going on. But I promise you again, from the word of God's word, we will know them by their fruits. Amen. And therefore, from God's word, we got to be on our guard. There are people in our world today, maybe even here, I pray they're not, but maybe even here this morning, that on the outside it says Christian, and it looks just so wonderful. It looks so pleasing. It looks so great that there was a profession, but there never was a confession of the hearts. Here it is as we close. Listen closely. When we obey God, there will be a cost. Please don't miss this. When you and I truly obey God, there will be a price to pay. There will be a temptation to not obey God because of the price to pay. There will be a temptation to not obey God because we see there's great risk involved. But don't miss this, that when we follow in obedience, any risk, anything that we think we are losing is going to be completely overshadowed exponentially by the joy and the graciousness of living holy in God as we follow Him. Oh, we will not lose anything by following God. We will truly gain everything in this life, and we'll gain everything in the next. Amen.
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. These messages are recorded at Manhattan Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. Each week we hear from listeners who are being blessed by the teaching of God's Word, and we would love to hear from you as well. You can email us at info@thisdayministries.org, or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for tuning in. Let's all go out intentionally and urgently this day, and let's go make a difference for Jesus Christ.